Kevin Woodley, magazine and NHL.com. We're going to break down the matchup between the Pipes, between Pecorine and Matt Murray. Before we get going, Kevin, you know who his Khalif is, right?
Yeah, I do, but I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know that he sung that song. I would have given Strutty better odds of knowing than me, because at least he used to be the DJ for the Canucks when he was here. Am I not correct there, Jason?
That's correct, Woodpile. But there'd be the Wizard Khalifa.
That's what you can call it.
It was a lot of country and some ABBA when the Swedish guys walked in the room. When Marcus Nazan walked in, I'd slip in a little ABBA. He loved it. We were all parting around these tight shirts. It was great.
That's a very late 90s picture you just pictured for us.
It was like Sprockets. Remember that Saturday Night Live skit? That's what it was like.
Kevin, we have a matchup. Predators-Penguins between the Pipes. The Penguins made a change. It's going to be Matt Murray starting game one. Marc-Andre Fleury started the postseason. Let's start with Pecorine so far. He's been arguably the best player for the Nashville Predators so far in the postseason. What have you thought? What has Pecorine done or changed in the playoffs that has elevated his game to put up some pretty impressive numbers?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I mean, every conversation about goaltending, when you talk about assessing the goaltender, has to include what's going on in front of them. And Strutty knows this as well, right? It's all about environment. It's all about, and in Pekka's case, a really good top four that has insulated him pretty well defensively from the types of chances that he has struggled with the most throughout his career. And those from an analytics side are considered the HD or high danger chances. And, you know, plays and opportunities really tight and close to the net. And, you know, as a lot of people talk about the trend towards bigger goaltenders, for sure a guy like Pecorine at 6'5" takes up a ton of space. But once you get into those tight areas and scrambles where you make a move, as athletic and dynamic as he is, I mean, he's a freak athletically for his size, bigger goaltenders also open up more holes as they move. And so that's been an area, you know, throughout his career that he's struggled with. And he's definitely, this defense and the way they play and the way they're playing in the playoffs right now, you know, they've kind of insulated him a little bit from that. That said, there have been some changes in his game that have kind of come and gone as the season's gone on. And we talked about it a couple times through the playoffs, how he was really hit and miss from month to month. I mean, player of the month or goalie of the month in November, sub 900 in October and December. And it kind of went back and forth, back and forth. And, you know, I went through and watched games from every month and broke down every goal that he gave up this season for our NHL.com playoff tracking project. And the difference between his good and his bad months were largely tied to how aggressively he played. When Pekka gets over-aggressive, and there are a lot of goalie coaches who thought even early in his career and even in the last couple of years that for a goalie his size, he was too active, was overactive. There was no need to be outside the blue paint when you take up as much of the net as Pekka does. When he gets chasing and gets moving too much, that's when he struggles. What I liked about his game in the good months and March into April and through the first two rounds of the playoffs, he played a more controlled, conservative positional approach. Now all of a sudden he's using that big frame and a little calmer, a little more efficient, not opening up those holes we talked about. And at the same time, when he needs to get desperate, he's got that ability. He hasn't lost it. He's just going to it a little less often and not as early in play sequences. And I got to be honest, I think a lot of it comes from UC Saros. 5'10", generously listed at maybe 5'11", backup goaltender for the Nashville Predators. And Pekka watched him have success this year playing largely inside or at the most at the edge of his crease. And if you're 6'5", and you watch this kid at 5'11", playing the blue ice and have success, and you're 6'5", and you're playing outside the blue ice, that kind of hits home. The message of goalie coaches have been giving you for a few years kind of hits home. Like, why? I got 7 inches on this kid. Why am I further out of my crease than he is? And so I've talked to Pekka about that and about some of those adjustments that he made watching UC this year. And I think that's been a big part of the success he's had. And the question is, can he maintain it? Because there were signs of the old Pekka against the Ducks. He started chasing. He started getting caught out of his crease. Couple of tap-ins on the back door where he's actually wide of his post. And for a goalie of his size, not giving himself any chance on a play that he should have a chance on. So I'm really curious to see whether he's, you know, that energy of the finals for the first time, he comes out flying and charging, or whether he can sort of find that calmness in his game right out of the chute here in game one.
I love that you bring up that idea of you know, he's getting to know his D-men. They help kind of calm things down in front of them. So my question for you is, it's not particular just to Rennie, but just kind of generally, is it what comes first in your opinion? Is it the D-men knowing where the rebounds are going so they can be in the right spots to kind of, you know, deal with those? Or is it the other way, that the goaltender has to just put the rebound somewhere and then the D-men will react to that?
Well, I think that the D-men have to react to that. I mean, the goaltender's trying to put it in good spots for them
because
he can see what's in front of them, right? And, of course, the defensemen have their back to the goaltender, right? So I think the onus is more on the goaltender, Jason, because he sees everything. And the defensemen, if they're boxing out properly, they're not looking at their goalie, right? They got to find that puck as it comes out from behind them. The one thing I'll say about Pekka, and this is another trend that we saw switch from St. Louis to the Anaheim series, and this is something that I remember Shea Weber talked about years ago for a column I did on Pekka, that glove hand. And the ability to catch pucks. You shoot it to the left side of Pekka Rinne, and even if it's along the ice, he will scoop that puck up like a shortstop, or he will even trap the puck between his pad and his glove, like off his pad, and catch it with his glove as it comes off and scoop it. I've seen him practice that. He does it like nobody else. And I remember talking to Weber, he thought, like, you know, that's probably 10, maybe more plays in a game where every other goaltender is creating a rebound and now we got to turn and find it. But Peck is killing that play. He's controlling that rebound. We've got a whistle. We're resetting. Now everything's controlled. And obviously they're a good face-off team or have been throughout the playoffs here. I know they're down, obviously, Johansson in the final. That's one thing. And so St. Louis, I thought, did a really bad job of managing that. As much as they scored a couple more goals on the glove side, they kept going there. And Pekka, as the series went on, controlled so much of the play by just freezing those on his glove side, whereas Anaheim, they started going blocker. I think they scored 9 of their 14 goals on the blocker side. But more to the point, if you shoot blocker, it's a rebound shot, and you're able to create more of those second-chance scrambles and have a better chance of those rebounds in front for those HD chances, those high-danger chances against Rinne versus the glove side, where you give him a great chance of killing that play and controlling it.
We're joined by Kevin Woolley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com, breaking down the matchup between the Pipes. Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final goes about an hour's time from Pittsburgh between the Penguins and the Predators. Matt Murray will get the start for Game 1 for Pittsburgh. Does he have any tendencies, in your opinion, Kevin, that the Nashville Predators will look to be pouncing on?
You know what? It's funny. We talked about Pekka's aggression. Matt Murray really is sort of the polar opposite. He's your modern goaltender. He's your largely inside the paint, very controlled in his movements. You can beat him around the upper corners, especially on the glove side. I mean, he's changed his glove position a little bit starting last season, where instead of what we would call a handshake position, where you can think of, you know, just like you would with a handshake, that glove being sort of out horizontally, parallel to the ice, he's kind of gone. You watch him now as the play gets in tight, the hand goes up around the shoulder to what we call a fingers up glove position, so perpendicular to the ice, to try and take away visually what shooters are seeing. But off the release, he still has a tendency to drop that hand, drop that shoulder a little early. So if you get a clean look, don't be surprised if the Predators are shooting for the glove side. But for the most part with him is, you know, outside of maybe on the blocker, the way he holds his stick and the elbow comes up, and there are a few that will go underneath between the arm, under the blocker, between the arm and the body, he's a goalie that makes you beat him around the perimeter. He doesn't beat himself. He rarely chases plays and gets out of position. You've got to make a good play or make a good shot to beat him. And at the same time, if you do, you've got a pretty good chance, if you know what I mean. He's a big goalie, takes up a lot of space. But if you can nibble around the edges and put it inside the post, that space is going to be there. Because he's not going to take a couple of feet outside and challenge and close down that angle like a Rinne has done throughout these playoffs. The only place where he can get in trouble in terms is off the rush. He will take more ice and get a little wide of his post. I wouldn't be surprised to see Nashville, especially with those D-men jumping in and joining the rush, knowing how good they pre-scout it, come down that wing with a lot of speed and drive towards the net, and then rather taking it to the net, actually go around on wraparounds. That's a play that caused him troubles last year. He's better to his blocker than his glove, which is an anomaly for goaltenders. Most guys move better to their glove side. He actually moves better to his blocker side. So if you're the Preds on the power play and you want to set up one-timers, you prefer to have it moving sort of from the left point to the right point and make him move to that glove side. There's he's a little less efficient in that direction, but picking nits. The kid's good, and he's showing that he doesn't rattle under pressure. So I expect this to be a battle of very opposite styles, but a good goaltending battle nonetheless.
Is it possible for the Penguins to win this series if at least once or twice during this series, Matt Murray beats, Pekarinen? I've played better than him in a game or two.
Is it possible for Pittsburgh to win without that?
Or to win with it, without. If Matt Murray doesn't beat Pekarinen once or twice, can they still win if Rennie is by far the better goalie throughout the series?
Probably. I mean, anything can happen. And they, like you said, it all depends on what's going on in front of them. But if Rene throws up like he did against Chicago, then yeah, no, I don't like their odds, because I think for the most part that, they're a team that wins with their scoring. I liked how Pittsburgh adjusted against Ottawa and was able to sort of grind out some of those games. But, I kind of doubt it. You know what I mean? I think that their defense with the injuries they got, as much as the Predators have some injuries up front, if Rennie's shutting the door, I don't know that Pittsburgh can do the same. I would say for them to win, Matt Murray's going to have to match him.
Joined by Kevin Woolley from In Goal Magazine. Kevin, let's get away from the Stanley Cup Final, go a couple other things around the world of goaltending. The Windsor Spitfires won the Memorial Cup yesterday, and their goaltender is actually pretty good for Windsor, and the draft combine is starting up. What do you make of Michael DiPietro's chances of getting drafted this offseason?
Well, it's funny. I mean, really, I enjoyed watching him play. Like, as much as, you sort of break down the technical elements of the game, like, for me, that's what I can spot. And you see, a Pekarinen, who at times looks overactive for his size, he sure is fun to watch. And Michael DiPietro is fun to watch. He is explosive. He is athletic. He is dynamic. He is never out of a play. He is fun to watch, but he's 6 feet tall. And then I compare that to the number one guy, and DiPietro is ranked around fourth. I compare that to the number one guy, Jake Oettinger from Boston University, and I apologize for the pronunciation miscue, but 6'3", and he's the number one ranked goaltender. Plays a very calm style, largely stays within his crease, very efficient, got pretty good hands up top, tracks the puck well, and yet I look at him and he's got a skating deficiency, in my opinion. I worry about his movement and his skating and his speed as the level goes up and the play gets more uncontrolled, because college really is a one-shot league and he plays behind a good team. Goalie coaches will always tell you, give me the raw kid because I can develop that, versus the one that's already refined technically, because that may be as good as he gets. And when I watch these two play, I can't help but wonder if that's as good as Oettinger is going to get out of Boston University. And yet he's the one who's ranked highest, in part because of the big frame. To me, it's actually kind of a referendum on where we're going with goaltenders. I wouldn't be surprised if DiPietro slips because of his size, because I know there are teams that just won't look at a kid anything under 6'2". So 6 foot is too far down the totem pole. But it's really interesting that, as we compare styles in the Stanley Cup final, to see how this draft goes. And, when I look at all of them, the one that I see as maybe having the best combination of size and some of that skating ability and raw skill is the Finnish kid. And 1 year after there were no Finnish goaltenders, and think of how odd that sounds, no Finnish goaltenders drafted last year, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, easy for me to say, is a kid who's kind of penciled in around that 3 or 4 spot by a lot of the scouting services. And based on some of the video I've seen, to me, he looks closer to sort of having that combination of raw skill, size, and technique that I might be looking for if I was making that decision.
And Kevin, let's close on this one. The goalie coach carousel has already begun. There's some new names and some new spots. So basically, how important is it for teams to have a goalie coach really before they head into the offseason?
I gotta be honest with you, I think it's more important than teams seem to think. It was just a couple of years ago that there were a lot of openings and they weren't being filled to mid-August. So now you'd had these kids that you drafted, you brought them into your development camp, and you didn't necessarily have a goalie coach to work with them. And so they were going back to their regular teams. without having a goalie coach having eyes on them and giving them a plan and talking to them about how their game might need to change as they make the shift to pro. Like, it just made no sense to me, frankly. More teams seem to recognize the importance of having a guy in place earlier. And yet, I got to be honest with you, I don't know how many times. It's frustrating to me because I hear most important position in the game quite often. We're in the playoffs where, like you said, you know, how important will goaltending be? Pekka Rinne probably front runner for the Conn Smythe if Nashville wins. And yet I still get the sense that the people making the decisions, the people doing the hiring for these goalie coach positions, outside of St. Louis, where they're letting Marty Brodeur run it, in a lot of cases, they really don't understand modern goaltending, don't, in many cases, even know what questions to ask a potential goaltending coach candidate. So I do see, and unfortunately we continue to see a lot of decisions that are being made based on relationships and past relationships rather than an understanding of where the modern game is at, where the goalies in my organization and system is at, and how they fit into my system. And that's, you know, I hate to keep coming back to Carolina, but there's a case where they gave up assets for a big goaltender, brought him in with a head coach and a goalie coach that wanted him to play like a small goaltender, and basically wasted his skill set by asking him to play to his biggest weakness. And now they've gone out and got Scott Darling, another big goaltender, and they don't have a goalie coach in place yet still in Carolina to figure out how they're going to mesh those two things. It frustrates me a little bit, but I still do see a lot of generic decisions being made around goaltending in the NHL when you really, there is the ability to drill down into specifics. Goalies aren't just save percentage. They're styles that need to fit with systems, and the goalie coach needs to be integrated into both of those. And far too often, nobody even knows what questions to ask to get to that point when they make these hirings. So it'll be interesting to see. There are some names out there. There's three jobs, Carolina, St. Louis, and surprisingly to some, the New York Islanders hiring at the NHL level. Francois Allaire, not a surprise, let go by the Avalanche, was leaving anyways. Looks like they're going to hire a personal goalie coach for Semyon Varlamov, UC Parkilla. And that's a big deal because not just did he coach in the KHL, and he'll have some adjustments to make. Tactically, it's a different game to teach over here. But a Finnish goalie coach, it would be the first Finnish goalie coach to work in the NHL. Interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that works out, if that's the way they ultimately go. But also because it means they're probably exposing Calvin Picard in the expansion draft. If they're going that far out of their way to keep Varlamov happy, Picard, who's coming off a real nice world championship, is going to be up for grabs for expansion, and therefore arguably up for grabs for any team that wants to cut a deal with Vegas after expansion to add a good young Canadian goaltender to their depth chart.
And one last quick one for you here, Mr. Woodley. Stuart Skinner, local product here at Edmonton, draft. What do you think of his upside?
I like it. And I haven't gotten to see, I didn't get to see Stuart much last year. Full disclosure, InGoal Magazine has an active and working relationship with his regular goalie coach, Eli Wilson. So we get a biased opinion. But the other people I talk to really like his game as well. And when we talk about, you know, that balance, Jason, between sort of that athleticism,
sure,
and then the size and technique, he's got the size clearly. He's got the technique. Everyone I talk to likes the other elements that are there. He kind of fits into that, you know, he's a more complete package already, and yet there's still enough upside in the skill set, even though he's fine-tuned everything, that you project him as being one of the, you know, maybe a third-round pick, a guy who could be up there, potentially even higher than that. And he's kind of, knowing what his work ethic is and knowing what his background is in terms of the amount of coaching and the style of coaching and the level of work he's done on his game and his body, he's kind of got that pro mentality like a lot of these kids do. He's got that pro mentality already, and that could be a head start for him when he gets drafted and makes that shift into the pro ranks.
Kev, always great to chat with you. Thanks. Enjoy game one, and we'll chat next Monday.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine. You